Now, another thing that you can say about it is that the relationship between these two truths is not a static thing. It's not that you kind of got conventional truth over here on this side of the room, and you got ultimate truth over here on this side, and you kind of bend down, you take a little bit of ultimate truth for a while, and then you go over and you take some conventional truth and try to find some kind of a balance between them. The truth is, you've actually got something that's more like a process of thought and a process of life, where you move from the conventional to the ultimate and back to the conventional again, in a way that brings a taste of one and mixes it with a taste of the other. And you often see this in a technical way in Mahayana writings, where the Bodhisattva begins by affirming the distinction between things, thinking, here I am in samsara, here I am, and I'd really like to get to nirvana, and let me see what I can do to try to get there. Start out with some sense of distinction. And then, as you study emptiness, you realize that there's no difference between samsara and nirvana is no longer any kind of a goal that you have to reach that's different from where you are. That's all well and good. But then you have to ask yourself whether there's any difference, I hope you can stay with me on this one, whether there's any difference between that second stage of thinking and the first, right? The first stage is a stage in which you distinguish between nirvana and samsara. The second stage, you don't distinguish between nirvana and samsara. Well, what about the distinction between these two stages? Is that distinction real, or isn't it? When you ask that question for yourself, what happens is that you come back into the first stage. There is no distinction between the... I hope this doesn't sound too confusing. There is no distinction between the stage of no distinction and the stage of distinction, which means that you've got to hold the distinctions and the no distinctions together in the same awareness of the world. Now this, sorry, I'm presenting it to you in a way that sounds absurdly abstract, but let me, if I can, distill it into a couple of aphorisms and into a typical experience of the understanding of emptiness. First of all, an aphorism. It's often said in the Zen tradition when people study the tea ceremony, and they learn to handle a bowl and to handle tea in a certain carefully prescribed way that's meant to express a certain understanding of experience and to bring real, in a ritual way, the experience of emptiness. So they say, at the beginning, for an ordinary person, you and me, a bowl is a bowl and tea is tea. We can agree on that. A bowl is a bowl and tea is tea. But when you start to study Zen, a bowl is no longer a bowl, and tea is no longer tea, as you come to understand the emptiness of each of these entities, and for that matter, the emptiness of any category in ordinary experience. But then when you are awakened, when you close the circle, when you come back into the conventional awareness of things, a bowl is a bowl, and tea is tea. So the process of meditation that's involved in this tea ceremony is meant to take you from ordinary experience into an experience of emptiness and then to bring you back to experience in this life so that will make it possible for you to be fully present to each moment in and of itself. This closes the circle between the two truths. Let me give you another example of this. I won't claim that any of these is going to completely express what I'm trying to get at here. But let me give you another example. When I was teaching in Harvard a few years ago, we had a visit from the Dalai Lama, who is one of the great exponents of the doctrine of emptiness, in addition to being a great bodhisattva. And he billed his talk as an explanation of the Buddhist doctrine of self. He was going to tell us what we were. And tell us about ourselves. And I'd say about 500 people showed up in Sanders Theater at Harvard to hear all of this. Sanders Theater is an old theater. It's a wonderful place and holds lots of people. who wanted to hear the Dalai Lama tell them something about themselves. I gave an introduction to him, explained that he was coming to do such and such, and told him how happy we were to hear him. And then I sat down and joined the audience and listened to him expound selfhood in the Buddhist tradition. We started out with a conventional view of self. He said, all you out there, you want to know what it means to be aware of yourself, to discover your own identity, you might say, be compassionate to other people. Help them. Love them.